with regards to the Mach of Arba of Locus, the eighth Machah, so the Pasuk tells us, Vaymaher Paroi Likro Lamosha Vyaron. Paro now all of a sudden has alacrity, he's in a rush to call Moshe and Aaron, Vayosmi Ola Raksamova says that, to get rid of this Machah of the Arba. Why all of a sudden is Paro in such a rush, specifically with regards to the Machah of Arba? So Zalman Saruskin has in his Oznaim Latira an original Mashava. And that is that perhaps it's because locusts multiply quickly, more quickly than any of the other Machahs, and you know, that involved animal life. Locusts are known to multiply quickly, and if you leave them there in a few, you know, in a matter of days or weeks, if you follow these locust swarms that are going throughout the world, even in the last few years, these things can, you know, eat up all the produce of a country in a matter of days or hours. They swarm in, and then, you know, they leave nothing left afterwards. So Paro knew if he didn't act soon that it would have lasting consequences or ramifications, not only for the immediate future, but even subsequently, the Dore Doros would have an afkamina in terms of how he conducted himself at that moment. And it's not only true with regards to catastrophes, right? Sometimes you have to act with alacrity. If you don't act quickly, you could set yourself off, you know, on the wrong foot for a long time. But it's true, of course, with regards to mitzvahs as well. The Torah tells us in this coming week's parasha, Ushmartim es hamatzos. You should guard the matzos, they shouldn't become chametz. But of course, Chazal darshin ushmartim es hamitzvos. That we should guard the mitzvahs. In what sense? The mitzvah bo yado al tach mitzen. If a mitzvah comes to our hand, you should not leave it around, meaning let it sit. A person should take the earliest opportunity in order to do the mitzvah. And perhaps, you know, given the context, this is not just in order to show the proper attitude towards the mitzvahs, but if a person doesn't seize the opportunity to do a mitzvah right away, he doesn't start off on the right foot, that could set him back a lot in the future. Even if he ends up coming around to do the mitzvah, if he does so, you know, in a lackadaisical fashion, or he doesn't do so with alacrity, with the proper enthusiasm and excitement, so it could set him off on the wrong foot. And just like Paro was worried about what the Arba could do if he let it ferment or sit around, so too the same is true with regards to mitzvah. So as we start the Nuzman, it's critical to try and do all that we can, given the challenges that are inherent in our situation, which don't need to be elaborated upon. But we should make sure to try and get off on the right foot. Everyone knows what that means, and given their own context, to try and make the most of a Seder, make the most of the Shir, and all the learning opportunities that are available to us, to try and make every person in their own situation, but to try and make the most of that in order to get off on the right foot. We all know, no one here is a freshman, we all know that in YU, a lot of times when you get off on the wrong foot, it could take a whole zman to get back to where you would like to be. So it's critical in YU to monitor where a person is headed scheduling-wise, and, you know, just to make sure he doesn't get behind in all the things he has to do, in which case, you know, all of a sudden now he's in emergency mode and everything else seems to go out the window. So we have to try as best we can from the beginning of this month to stay on top of everything. And Mitzvah, if we do that, we'll all be able to shtay together and to learn what is a fantastic parak over here at the end of Masechtas Pesachim. So we're going to switch parakim, switch gears a little bit, the Nuzman, a little sense of Hischadshus, and of course Pesach, it's unbelievable already, but the coronavirus started right before Pesach. We're almost at coming around to a year anniversary of coronavirus, but it's time for Pesach again, as hard as that is to believe. And therefore, it's kedai. We're learning Pesachim. We should get involved in Perek Arvei Pesachim, which is a lot of the halacha lamaisa and the inyanim that have to do with the leil haseder. So the Gemara begins. The Mishnah begins on Sadi Tesamid Beis Erev Pesachim. Samuch l'mincha yocha adam ad shetechshach. On Erev Pesach, a person shall not eat samuch l'mincha until it gets dark. So you should not start eating samuch l'mincha until it gets dark. So already Tosfos jumps on the language of the Mishnah. And it's striking to us, right? If you look at the top of the page, if you have an old-time Gemara, it says Arve Pesachim. Yet if you look at the Mishnah, it says Erev Pesachim. Which is it? Is it Arve or is it Erev? So I know not everyone here is probably a Vokki in Lashon HaKodesh and grammar, or at least I'm talking to myself. But the language that would be more correct would be Arve Pesachim. Why? Because, not that there is multiple Arve Pesachim every year, but we're talking about many years of celebrating Pesach. So, Arve Pesachim, meaning we're talking about in general, the generic Erev Pesach, which will occur more than one time throughout a person's life span, hopefully. So, he experienced many Erev Pesachs. So, instead of saying Erev Pesachs, we would say Arve Pesachim. So, on Erev Pesach, not only this year, but in subsequent years, a person should not eat until it becomes dark. That's why Tosfos writes, Igar Sinan Arve Necha. If you would have had the Girsa, Arvei Pesachim would make a lot of sense. Because we're talking about Pesachim, many different Pesachs. The Igar is seen on Erev, but if you have the Girsa of Erev, Hachikah Amar, this is how we have to interpret the Mishnah, Erev Sheshecht Nebab Pesachim. What it means is the night when we will shecht many carbon Pesachs. Meaning either because we're talking about multiple people shechting the carbon Pesach, or because we're talking about many years of us celebrating Pesach. But what we mean is Erev, the night, when you will shecht many different Karbonos Pesach, or when many people are shechting the carbon Pesach. So that's how you would have to interpret the Mishnah. But then Tosfos has something that is quite surprising. He says, Inami, Erev Pesach Rishon Visheni. It's referring to Erev Pesachim, meaning the Erev of two Pesachim. What two Pesachim? Either two Pesachim of my lifetime, we said before, or maybe there's many people say, you know, with shechting the carbon Pesach in that year. Or Tosfos says maybe it's Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, right? The second opportunity to fulfill carbon Pesach for those who were Tamei, Ubederech Rechaika, that the Torah revealed in Parashas Baloitzka, when they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to them or granted them a second chance, Yontif, unbelievable, because they had such a desire, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Yontif just for them. A month later, in order to give them an opportunity to bring the Karma Pesach. Karma Pesach is not like all the other mitzvahs in the sense that if you miss it, it's an ayinus rachmana patre. Karma Pesach is critical to the Jewish perspective and you know our entire experience throughout the year. So therefore, well, maybe we'll get involved in why the Karma Pesach is so critical. Everyone had to participate, even had to get a second chance. Karma Pesach is something that was absolutely essential for the Jew, and therefore they were given a second opportunity for those who missed it the first time. So maybe, just like the second answer Tosfos is telling us, just like you're not supposed to eat Erev Pesach of Yudalad B'Nisan until it gets dark, so too, you're not supposed to eat Erev Pesach Sheni a month later in Iyar on the day that you're about to bring the Karban Pesach until it gets dark and you're going to eat the Karban Pesach. Why should this apply, this halakha, apply to Pesach Sheni? And why does the first opinion in Tosfos feel, by his, you know, his, the fact that Tosfos didn't go to this answer immediately, it seems to imply that the first answer of Tosfos rejects this. Why or why not should one say that this halakha of our Mishnah should apply to Pesach Sheni, needs to be understood? So I believe that these two opinions of Tosfos, this Iser to eat Erev Pesach until it gets dark, when you're going to eat the Karban Pesach, does that apply only to Pesach Rishon, apply to Pesach Sheni, really has to do with why, is one not supposed to eat Erev Pesach in the first place? So if you look at the Gemara later on, Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yisai, Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, there's two dots at the bottom of the page. So there, the Gemara has two possible reasons why you're not supposed to eat Erev Pesach until it gets dark. And it has to do with what mincha we're talking about. Are we talking about mincha gedola, or which is half an hour after chatzos? So we're talking about mincha ketana later on in the afternoon, in 9.5 hours. So we're talking about mincha gedola, we're talking about mincha ketana. Well, it says the Gemara, it depends. What's the reason you're not allowed to eat Erev Pesach until it gets dark? So one opinion in the Gemara is that maybe it's because Dilma Asi Lemimshach, going over to Kuvzayin with Beis, Va'asi Lemnuye Milim Me'avad Piska. Maybe you're going to get carried away with your meal, you're going to forget to bring the Karban Pesach. Ah, okay. But then it's probably Mincha Gedoyla, because the Karban Pesach is brought around Mincha Ketana time, right? In 9.5 hours, you're ready to be bringing the Karban Pesach. So why can't I sit down to a meal after I brought the Karban Pesach? Maybe you could. So the reason why you're not supposed to have a meal on Erev Pesach, if it's because you're not supposed to forget or get carried away with your meal and forget to bring the Karban Pesach, then it makes sense to suggest that the Mishnah is referring to when it says Samach Mincha, that is Mincha Gedoyla, 12:30, lest the person will get carried away with his meal and forget to bring the Karban Pesach around 3:30 time. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. But then the Gemara says, Oy Dilma, Samach Mincha Ketana. Maybe we're talking about 9.5 hours, but you already brought the Karban Pesach, so why can't I sit down to a meal now? No, Mishum Mitzvah. Mishum Matzah. And because of the mitzvah of Matzah. Okay, so we shouldn't get carried away and lose something with regards to the mitzvah of Matzah. We'll have to explain, what that's all about. But the Gemara says there, Dilma Asi Lemichla Lematzah Achila Gatzah. Maybe you're going to be eating the matzah while you're already stuffed and full, and we're going to have to explain what the problem with that is in a second. Okay, but the Gemara has two possibilities. Either it's because of matzah, it's matzah-driven. You're supposed to be hungry when you're eating the matzah. It's not supposed to be a chil gasa. Or it's because a person shouldn't get carried away and forget to bring the Karban Pesach. So it seems to me that these two opinions over here in Tosfos, does our Mishnah apply only to Pesach Rishon? Does it even apply to Pesach Sheni? depends on those two reasons that are brought in the Gemara, Daf Kuf Zayin. If the reason is because of the Karban Pesach, right, that's what's driving this, well, then that should apply to Pesach Rishon, should, you know, could apply ostensibly to Pesach Sheni too. Lest you get carried away and not, for, you know, forget to bring the Karban Pesach. If it's because of matzah, you know, that you should eat matzah when you're hungry, or you shouldn't be eating matzah chil gasa, then it doesn't make sense, really, to carry it over to Pesach Sheni. Why does it not make sense to carry over to Pesach Sheni? Because even though you do have to eat matzah with the Karban Pesach, and eat matzah with the Pesach Sheni as well, there's a difference between matzah on Pesach and matzah on Pesach Sheni. Rabbi, say, look over here at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvot Asei Nun Vav, the first thing on the sheet. The Rambam says that there's a mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach together with matzah and maror. As the pasuk says in this week's parasha, va'al matzois umrarim yochluhu. U'matzois umrarim yochluhu. And you should eat it with matzah and with maror. And the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Karban Pesach together with, you know, the requirement that it be eaten with matzah and maror. But then the Rambam explains that, well, you know, eating matzah is also an independent mitzvah, and it's counted separately in the minyan mitzvahs. The Rambam there mentions in Asei Kuf Nun Ches, the Asei of eating Karban Pesach is Nun Vav. The Asei Kuf Nun Ches is to eat matzah. And that's even in the absence of a Karban Pesach, right? Even today, we're going to get to more much later, even today, matzah remains a mitzvah midairaisa, as opposed to maror, which is not a mitzvah midaraisa. So the Rambam there explains, you know, why is there a difference between the two, and he explains because the pasuk really delineates matzah separately, also, even in the absence of a Karban Pesach, right? The pasuk says, ba'erev toichlu matzois. So matzah is not only supposed to be eaten together with the Karban Pesach, u'matzah samroim yochluhu, it's also a separate mitzvah of ba'erev toichlu matzois. So the matzah on Pesach is independent from the Karban Pesach. It's supposed to be eaten together in a sandwich, but it's an independent imperative. So even the absence of Karban Pesach, I would also have matzah. Pesach Sheni, matzah only comes as a part of the Karban Pesach. There is no independent obligation to eat matzah. This is already alluded to, perhaps, in the Psukim. Because the Ramban writes in this week's Parsha, it's fantastic, you know, it works together with the Parsha Shavua, but the Ramban writes in this week's Parsha, V'ichlu as habasa, we have the second thing on the sheet, V'ichlu as habasa b'layla zeh, you should eat the Karban Pesach on this night, sli eish, right, roasted over fire, u'matzah is amrarim yachluhu. So you should eat it with matzah and maror, but the language is, u'matzah is amrarim yachluhu, you should, you know, and matzah and maror should be eaten with it. So Ramban claims that u'matzah is going back on the word v'ichlu, v'yotze nochon sh'nemar ki u'matzah is nimshach l'mayla, v'ichlu as habasa u'matzah is. There's a mitzvah to eat the basar and another mitzvah to eat matzah. They're two separate mitzvahs. Yes, they're supposed to be eaten together, but they each have their own independent identity as well, as opposed to maror, which is thus, you know, the condiment, right? It's the lettuce on the hamburger. It has to be lahavdil. It has to be eaten together, but it doesn't have its own independent identity. So the Chasam Sofer has a fantastic diuk based on this comment of the Ramban in this week's parsha. The Chasam Sofer says, well, if you look at the pasuk in Parashas Baaloska, which discusses Pesach Sheni, there is no such implication. The language of the pasuk there is different. The language of the pasuk in Parashas Baaloska, says the Chasam Sofer, is al matzois umrayim yachluhu. Not u matzois umrayim yachluhu, and you should eat matzah and maror, implying that there's an independent obligation to eat matzah. It's al matzois umrayim yachluhu. The Karban Pesach, there's no, you know, in Pesach Sheni, there's no separate obligation to eat matzah. It's only together with the Karban Pesach. So in every yontif of Pesach, we have two obligations to eat matzah. One, as a part of the sandwich, right, of the Pesach Shein, of the Karban Pesach, right, like Hillel would be, you know, we would eat them all together. But even in the absence of Karban Pesach, we have a separate mitzvah to eat matzah. On Pesach Shein, there is no such thing. On Pesach Shein, it's just to eat it together with the Karban Pesach. So if, you know, the prohibition of eating an Erev Pesach is driven by the Karban Pesach, well, then it makes sense that it should travel over to Pesach Sheni too, lest you get carried away and forget to bring the Karban Pesach. If it's driven by matzah, the matzah should be eaten, you know, when a person's hungry, it shouldn't be eaten a chil gasa, well, then that shouldn't apply to Pesach Sheni. There is no obligation to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. It's just to eat the matzah together with the Karban Pesach. That's why it's a little bit curious that there are those who have today the minig on Pesach Sheni, first of all, I'm not saying Tachnun. Okay, that's fine. Getting rid of Tachnun. I'm not here to wage Tachnun wars. But there are those who do wage Tachnun wars. It's not my chelek in this world. is to encourage, you know, to argue that people should say Tachanun. But there are those who have a minig of eating matzah on Pesach Sheni. According to Likutei Ma'arich, a minig, that's an earlier commentary in Shulchan Aruch, a minig to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni, which is a little bit curious. Why should there be a minig to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni? There was never a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni in the absence of a carbon Pesach. It was only together with the carbon Pesach. So many chassidim have the minig of eating matzah on Pesach Sheni, but Rabbi Shechter in the Chuvis Corona made fun of it, because there were those who weren't able to eat matzah on Pesach Rishon. I don't understand this, but there were those who weren't able to eat matzah on Pesach Rishon. I don't know what Corona has to do with this. And people that call Corona everything. Corona, I can't do this. Corona, I can't do that. I couldn't eat matzah on Pesach because of Corona. But there were those who couldn't eat matzah. Oh, maybe there's tashlumen on Pesach Sheni. There's no tashlumen for matzah on Pesach Sheni. There was never a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. It was only to bring a carbon Pesach. So those in literature circles, they make fun of this minig of the chassidim. What kind of minig is this? Tiv matzah and pesach. Many chassidim hold of this very, very strongly. A minig tiv matzah and pesach sheni, and others make fun of it. In fact, in the Archos Rabbeinu, that's the biography of the Stipler, 4 or 5 volume, a halachic biography of the Stipler. So it says there that the Stipler actually used to eat matzah and pesach sheni, and the Chazon Ish was opposed to it. That's Hanhagis of the Stipler and the Chazon Ish. So it says over there, Chaim Kanievsky said it over in the name of the Chazon Ish, he was opposed to it. So he said it once happened in Pinsk. Well, I think the Stipler was from Pinsk, or I don't know. Once happened in Pinsk, that the Chassidim there were all eating matzah and Pesach Sheni. So they asked who was the Rav of the town, Rabbi Eliezer Moshe Horowitz. I think he has Haggadah in the back of the Gemara or something. So they asked him, what about eating matzah and Pesach Sheni? He said, there's no such halacha or minig. So he said, the only time you have to eat matzah Pesach Sheni is if you're either Tamei or Bederech Rechaika. So he said, the Chassidim are Tamei and the Bederech Rechaika, they're on some other path. So he said, so they have to eat matzah Pesach Sheni, they're Tamei and Bederech Rechaika. Okay, not nice. But anyway, Chassidim have such a minig. I'm not here to tell people to change them and hug them. But the Litvish don't have such a minig, and it makes sense why there's no such minig. Because there was never an Indian to eat matzah and Pesach Sheni Bechal. The whole Indian was just carbon Pesach. So again, if this halacha is driven by matzah, doesn't make sense to, you know, not to eat an Erev Pesach. Doesn't make sense to carry it over to Pesach Sheni. If it's driven by the carbon Pesach, then maybe, you know, it does make sense to carry it over. When we say that it's driven by matzah, right, that opinion in the Gemara later on, you're not supposed to eat an Erev Pesach until it gets dark because of the matzah. So the Gemara there said, let's just turn back to that Gemara on Kavzayin Mabez, 3 lines down, the Gemara says, the end of the second line, don't eat from Mincha Ketanan on, Dilma Asi Lemichla Lematza Achila Gasa. Maybe you're going to come to eat the Matza Achila Gasa. What do you mean Achila Gasa? So, you know, it sounds like this is based on that Gemara in Yuma, that perhaps we're familiar with. The Gemara says, in Yuma, Amar Eish Lakish, over here, the fourth thing on the sheet, Ha'echla Achila Gasa, B'yom Kippurim Potter. If a person eats Achila Gasa, you know, he eats when he's already full on Yom Kippur. He's not chayev for eating on Yom Kippur, because eating on Yom Kippur is about satiating your das, right? Yisuvei daita, then it's supposed to be v'nisem es nafshir seichem, and this calms you down when a person eats. So, but if a person was stuffed already, then it doesn't bring him any more satisfaction. If anything, it makes him, you know, feel less comfortable, more uncomfortable. So therefore, the Gemara says, if a person eats on Yom Kippurim, when he's already achila gasa, he's potter. So achila gasa in certain areas of halacha is not considered to be an achila. So is that what the Gemara is here talking about, or is the Gemara here driving at something else? Because not that a person will be full and then his achilas matzah won't be an achila, like eating achila gasa and Yom Kippur is not eating. Maybe here the Gemara means something else. If you look at Rashi and Rashbam, Rashi on that Gemara Kuf Zayin Mabez says umishum matzah she kanes la kishahu taiva. You should eat it when you're still hungry. And that's how Rashi learns in our daf too. You shouldn't eat on Erev Pesach. Look back in our Rashi and Tzadi Tesmi Beis. Rashi says, Kedei sheyecho matzah shom mitzvah letei oven. Mishum hider mitzvah. So you should eat the matzah while a person is hungry, kind of like a hider mitzvah. So it sounds like this is a hider mitzvah and matzah to eat it when you're hungry. It's not nice. When a person, you know, to eat things when he's not hungry. A person, let's say, prepares food for us, and, you know, you come in and you're... It's not nice. There are a lot of men. It's a problem. In our show, we have a big kiddush. Not Tkufas Corona, but before Corona. We have a major kiddush. What would be a blowout kiddush in other shuls is our weekly, our weekly kiddush. That's the way things, that's how we roll in Manhattan. That's the way it goes. But it's not nice. A lot of people eat, I'm not a big Kiddush guy, I don't eat the Kiddushes, but a lot of people eat at the Kiddush and they come home. The wife made a whole fancy lunch and these guys, they roll in already stuffed with the spicy meats and the dried beef jerky and this and then they had chillin 500 times already with this one, 5 shots. It's not nice. It's partially not nice. Someone made a meal. It's a nice thing to eat at Gotei Oven. It's a nice thing to show appreciation that I came with, the Jewish mother would say, I hope you came with an appetite. Right? It's a nice thing to do that. Not that I'm making stereotypes. But, to come when a person's not hungry is not nice. So it's not a Hidur Mitzvah. The Hidur Mitzvah is to eat it with Gotei Oven. So that's how Rashi and the Rashbam seem to learn. And even though the Gemara used the language of Achila Gasa, they must have understood that that's Lav Davka. It doesn't mean it's achila gasa, like the Gemara Masechta Yuma. Already, it's not an achila. What they mean is the person's not hungry, and it's a hidur mitzvah to eat the matzah while a person is hungry. However, Taisvis on Kuf Zayin Mabez there, where is the Gemara Kapshutai? No, that it's achila gasa, and Taisvis quotes the Gemara Masechta Yuma. That ain't achila. If you eat it when a person's not hungry, he's already stuffed. Ain't achila. Kedarmina beperek basa the Yuma haecha achila gasa biyom kippur mispater. Person who eats an achila gasa in Yom Kippur is potter. And that's how Rabbeinu David learns. Rabbi said, I asked to see Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David is phenomenal. Oh, everything Rabbeinu David is fantastic. So Rabbeinu David over here learns like Taisvis. He explains why it's called achila gasa. I thought this was fantastic. I never knew this. But yeah, what do you say, Rami? You don't like Rabbeinu David?
No, I like Rabbeinu David so much that I want to know who actually wrote it.
It's Rabbeinu David. His name is in the title.
Yeah, but Rabbi
he's one of the Rishayim.
No,
this is Rabbeinu David of Bonefiend. Bonefiend, does that help you? Oh, the Bonefiends. Yeah. Oh, damn, yeah. Of the 5-town Bonefiends. I don't know. He's one of the Rishayim. I don't know, I'm Psachim. He only has 2, either the Psachim and 1 other Masechta, I think. I don't know which other, I forget. Everyone uses the Rabbeinu David, I'm Psachim. Fantastic. So Rabbeinu David says, what is the Achila? Gasa minis milashin geises. A geisis is a guy who's already in the throes of death. He can barely move. So this is like achila gasa, that it makes a person kilo, he's a geisis. He can't walk around anymore. Oh, he's stuck. He's no interest in life. That's the geisis, right? He already lost interest in continuing on in this world. So that's a person who lost interest in eating. He says, shaloshon gasa milashon geisis. She'ina yachol evloya isa. You can barely swallow. Al bekoshi ka'adam shu geisis. Like a person who's a geisis. Interesting explanation of the word achila gasa. Anyway, so he also learns like Taisus. And we're talking about Achila Gasa, and it's not because of a Hidur Mitzvah you're supposed to eat it when you're hungry. It's Poshet, it's not going to be an Achila, like the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma, that if you eat Achila Gasa in Yom Kippur, it's not a violation of the Issa of eating on Yom Kippur. The problem is, with this Pshat, even though it works well with the language of the Gemara Kuf Zayin Mabez, where Rabbi says it doesn't fit into the Shaka V'Tari of our Gemara, L'Chaira. Because look at the Shaka V'Tari of our Gemara. Come back, Tzadi Tesim Mabez. Says the Gemara, we'll come back to the end of the Mishnah later. Says the Gemara, my iria arve psachim. Why do you mention this halacha not to eat erev yontif only with regards to Pesach? Afilu arve shabbos is v'yomim tovim nami. Every erev Shabbos and yontif you're not supposed to eat. Disanya lo yoichol adam ba'arve shabbos is v'yomim tovim and amin cholamaylo. You're not supposed to eat every erev Shabbos and erev yontif. Kadeshi kanis a Shabbos kishuhu tava. That a person should enter into Shabbos while he's hungry. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Oimer, Oichav Ahoylech. You can eat and all the way up until it gets dark. So Amar Rav Huna, Rabbi Yosi, you're right. The whole mishnah is only coming according to Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said a person can continue to eat all the way until it gets dark. All the way until it gets dark. So what is our Gemara asking that the mishnah is superfluous, or why does the mishnah focus harp on Erev Pesach? This really applies to every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. That has nothing to do with Achila Gasa, really. The Gemara says that a person should enter into Shabbos and Yantif when he's still hungry. Right? If it would have to do with Achila Gasa, what does that have to do with Shabbos and Yantif? What is Achila Gasa, right? Achila Gasa is local to matzah, right? That you have a mitzvah to eat it. What is, how would that translate? How would that, be relevant to every Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov? We don't necessarily have a mitzvah to eat like a person has the other Yom Tov. So the Gemara says over here, even though Rabbi Yosi, every other Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov would allow a person to eat all the way until it gets dark, on Erev Pesach, he would agree that you should stop earlier And that's why our Mishnah focuses on Erev Pesach. Even Rabbi Yossi agrees here. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you shouldn't eat every Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach, every Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So a person should enter into Shabbos and Yontif while he's hungry. Rabbi Yossi normally feels a person can eat Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, but here on Pesach he would agree, he would concede, Mishum, the Gemara says, Mishum, Chiyuv de Matzah, because of the Chiyuv of Matzah. But it sounds like the topic that's under discussion here is not Chilek Asah, from the fact that Gemara applies this to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. It sounds like that this is relevant, that this is because of a person should enter in while he's hungry. So that's where Rabbeinu David addresses this in his second piece that I asked you to see. I hope you have the file. I didn't put it on the sheet of Mar Mekayim, so I figure everyone has it already. So he says, he asks, well, how is this relevant to the Hemshech of the Gemara? Right, what does Achila Gasa have to do with Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif? He says, that a person has to be worried about achila gasa and won't be yotze the chiyuv of matzah. The kavish Rabbi Yosi moide bekach lama hu chaylik ve'er ve'arve shabbos ve'er, you know, ve'arve yomim tovim. If he thinks that it's achila gasa, or just the opposite, if the fear is achila gasa, meaning one could have said, right, if the fear is that you're not going to be hungry, so then, you know, we might assume that that only applies to matzah, doesn't apply to Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. Maybe there is no chiyuv to be hungry, and that's where Rabbi Yosi holds. But if it's because of achila gasa, you know, doesn't Rabbi Yosi have to subscribe? Well, then eating on Erev Friday night and eating, you know, Erev Yontif or Leil Yontif also won't be an achila. You know, so how does this translate to that scenario? So, kevin shu the Shabbos Yontif who mitzvah vader shol yehi adam yotzeh behem achila gasa. So why is there any difference between if the fear is you should be hungry, right? If the concern is you should be hungry, maybe there's more of a need to be hungry when eating matzah than on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. But if it's achila gasa, shouldn't that translate to Shabbos and Yontif too? And it doesn't make sense anymore, the distinction between Pesach and Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif. One should never be eating achila gasa, and on Erev Shabbos and Leil Yontif, you also have a mitzvah to eat a suda Shabbos, a suda Yontif. So the Rabbeinu David explains, v'isum le'meimar, Shafal Pichain ain't Suda Shabbos v'yontif during the matzah. We could still distinguish between matzah and eating the Suda Shabbos and Yontif. So here he has a fantastic chiddush, which is a huge chiddush, that the obligation to eat on Shabbos and Yontif is only that a person should be in a situation where he is a misaneg. Like the Pasuk says, v'karaso l'shabbos oineg l'kadosh Hashem mechuba, the Pasuk says Yishayahu, that there's a mitzvah to be misaneg on Shabbos and Yontif, to enjoy the day. So does enjoying the day mean I have to eat as an expression of my enjoyment of the day, or does it mean I have to be in a situation of enjoyment? And if I ate before Shabbos or Yom Tov, as long as I'm satiated, that's also fulfillment of a karasul or Shabbos oineg. Meaning the question that he's coming to address is, Rabbi, so just go back to Shach V'Tahara. The question he's coming to address is, if the concern is that a person should be hungry when he eats the matzah, mishum hidur mitzvah, then it makes sense, Rabbi Yossi distinguishes only in Erev Pesach, not in Shabbos and Yom Tov. Maybe there's no same obligation of hidur mitzvah by the matzah to the Suda Shabbos and Suda Yontif. You don't have to be as hungry. Right, okay. That we understand. If it's because of Achila Gasa, so how does Rabbi Yaisi's distinction make any sense? Why should Achila Gasa only apply to matzah and not to the Suda Shabbos and Yontif? So Rabbeinu David explains, because the Suda Shabbos and Suda Yontif is not necessarily a chiyuv to eat them. What it means is you should be in a state of satiation. But if you got to that state, you reached that state, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, by eating on, you know, the Erev, before Yom Tov or Shabbos actually arrived, as long as you are satiated, that is a fulfillment of Suda Shabbos and Suda Yom Tov. That's not the typical pshat, right? We would normally have said, there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda argues. And that's at least the way the Rabbeinu David learns. Rabbi Yehuda argues it's not good enough to be satiated on Shabbos and Yom Tov. A person has to eat to make himself satiated. It has to be put into action. The karasul Shabbos oneg, we should call Shabbos a delight, means I have to delight myself on Shabbos. Rabbeinu David says, according to Rabbi Yosi at least, and it happens to be, by the way, that's the way we paskin, that you can eat Erev Shabbos all the way up until Shabbos. The obligation to enjoy Shabbos is not that I have to eat on Shabbos to express my enjoyment. I have to be in a state of enjoyment when Shabbos arrives, even if I ate Erev Shabbos. Yeah, Rabbi Levy, what do you say?
So would it then be almost like Erev Yom Kippur when you eat, you get a mitzvah Erev Shabbos to eat because in order to...
No, I think we would want the ideal to be a Suda Shabbos and a Suda Yom Tov, right? Erev Pesach, Erev Yom Kippur is because you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So it's the parallel, the other side of the coin of Yom Kippur.
You're fulfilling your satiation on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. You're preparing it.
Yeah, I hear that. You're saying, why shouldn't we all do that? And just sit on Shabbos and read the paper already. Yeah, let's just jump straight to the Yated Nehemiah or whatever. You know, let's just straight to the Ami magazine or whatever. You know, why do we have to, the Jewish Press or the Jewish Action, whatever you like. You know, why can't we just, you know, jump straight into that? You know, I think everyone would agree that that's, you know, that V'karas on Shabbos certainly means to eat. The Shaila is... Is it that the eating itself is significant, or is that I should? It's result oriented. That I want to be in a state of oneg, and if I'm satiated
in any way in avera, like if you were to overstuff yourself.
Well, it's not an achila, so it's irrelevant. Right?
No, exactly. So how could you be allowed to preemptory satiate yourself and then come to say the achila gasa on Shabbos?
You don't want to be achila gasa. So that's the question, right? If the reason I'll eat Erev Pesach is because I want to be hungry and show my desire to eat the matzah, so then we understand why, well, there may be more as an Indian to do that by matzah than by Suda Shabbos and Yantav. But if the Indian is not to eat Achila Gasa, you can't eat Achila Gasa and Shabbos and Yantav either. What difference does it make to say, you know, what sense it makes to distinguish matzah and Suda Shabbos and Suda Yantav? So that's where Rabbeinu David says, maybe on Shabbos and Yantav, the mitzvah isn't necessarily to eat. It certainly would imply that, because Shabbos Einig means, right, you want to enjoy yourself, you go out to eat. But maybe the obligation of enjoyment on Shabbos and Yantav is more about the result that's created than the activity of eating. So on matzah, that's certainly not the case. Certainly you have to eat matzah, and if you're going to be achila gasa, won't be eating matzah. So therefore, you know, everyone agrees that Erev Pesach, better not to eat Erev Pesach. But on Shabbos and Yantav, Rav Yossi is not as convinced. Why? If it's folks on Achil Gasa is all year round with regards to all Achilas on Yom Kippur too. So why should Achil Gasa not apply to Shabbos and Yantav? Because maybe in Shabbos and Yantav is not so much a chiyuv to eat, but to be satiated. He quotes over here, yeah, what did he say? What?
There's like a whole Indian of
talking about
Shabbos, like to eat before Shabbos.
But that's a whole separate Indian. We're not going to have time to get into that now. But that's the idea of setting the table Erev Shabbos. That's because that's more of an Indian type of idea, not a halachic issue. But it's really to take the chol and be makadosh it and use it to be makadosh the week and dedicate it to Shabbos. That's why there's an Indian to have Tosefes Shabbos, an Indian to prepare the table before Shabbos, to take a shower before Shabbos. You know, to do Shnai Mikra Vechatargum before Shabbos. I'm trying to take the week and elevate it to be part of Shabbos. So that's the time Echaim Zochu. By eating, they're tasting the food Erev Shabbos, I'm kind of elevating the day to become part of Shabbos. That's like an Indian of being Malin Etzaitis, like Kedusha, to, you know, that's not Shulchan Aruch territory. Oh, so Rabbi said, look over here, Rabbeinu David says something astounding. He says, it implies like it's a Gemara, but it's certainly not. He says over here, Kederach Sha'amru, five lines from the bottom of the second paragraph of Rabbeinu David. He says, Kederach Sha'amru, let's start, V'meina achilo mahano, so I don't chayu b'klal, sh'nemotze b'lo hanav, v'lo itayinu Kederach Sha'amru, sha'istinisim peturim mishaloshudis. He says, those who are istinisim, meaning those who get full easily, don't have to eat shaloshudis. Why do they have to eat shaloshudis? Because they're stuffed. So since they're stuffed, they're yaitzei. Meaning it's not that I can't eat, so it's going to be achila gasa. Rabbeinu David takes that and he turns it on his head. He says, you know why you're putting from Shalosh Shudas? Because I'm yaitzei. How am I yaitzei? Because I'm stuffed. And the whole Indian is not necessarily to eat, says Rabbeinu David. It's to be satiated. If I'm satiated for Shalosh Shudas, that's good enough. But he says, Kederach Sha'amru, like they said. So in the footnotes to Rabbeinu David over here, they astutely point out, who said this? Who said that it's good enough to be stuffed for Shalosh Shudas, not that I actually have to eat? We don't find that anywhere. So he says this was a saying of the Ga'anim, that if a person is stuffed already, perhaps he's potter from eating Shalosh Shudas. So I gave it to you. It says over here, it's very relevant today, and when the Shabbos is very short, and many people's lunch goes long, and already comes to Shalosh Shudas, and they can't, they pasha can't bring themselves to eat anymore. So what should he do for Shalosh Shudas? So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll be potter. You're potter from eating Shalosh Shudas if you're stuffed. Adarabah, it will be achila gasa to do it. It's not even achila. So it says over here in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Sadi Av Sif Aleph, Yizar, Yehei, Zar Ma'oi, Mekayim Su, the Shlishis. It should be Mizar, you know, a person should always try and be Mekayim Shalosh Shudas. Va'afim Husavea, Yochel Lekayim Masobi Kabeitza. Don't worry, you don't have, that doesn't take that much food. It's enough for the Kabeitza. V'mi'yev Shul Alek, Al-Klal, Lekol, Eno Kai V'tzara Tasma. You don't have to be Mitzar yourself to eat if you can't eat. Why not? So Rabbeinu David says, because it's Ki'ilu, you already fulfilled it. Maybe it's the state of being satiated. But then it says in Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu David, I don't know if he would subscribe to this. He says, "Achacham ena bereishai." The pasuk in Koheles, you should always be rayas hanolad. Shoyimale bitnoi besudas habayker. Don't overeat at the morning meal. It's good advice the whole year long. Don't overeat. But kidei lita welcome with suda shlishis, in order that a person should leave room for suda shlishis. Okay, so the Rabbeinu David over here, based on our Shaka with Hayra Gemara, comes out with a whopper of a chiddush and kol Torah, you know, and kol Shabbos kula, that maybe the mitzvah isn't so much to eat; it's to be satiated. So a person eats on Friday, it's okay, because at least when it comes Friday night, he'll be satiated. But when it comes to the matzah, that's not good enough. So the matzah, if you're gonna eat, you have to eat it. So if you're stuffed already coming into Pesach, miachil agasa, so that's no good. Yeah, what do you say, Rav Levi? Yeah.
But there's a major delineation between the wording of the Shulchan Aruch, who says that you're potter from having to take part in Shal Shudas, and the idea of Rabbeinu David, which is a chiddush that you would be fulfilling the mitzvah.
Correct. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't go as far as Rabbeinu David, right. But Rabbeinu David clearly says that. He clearly says that you have fulfilled, he says, Aval Suda Shabbos, v'yomtev, eno chai behen, elo kedei l'kaim oineg Shabbos v'yomtev, v'm eno achilu mahano, yisai, eno chai b'klal. If the achila is not doing you any favors, then you're not obligated to eat.
It's not a tainuk. So
Shulchan
Aruch doesn't necessarily follow him,
though. I don't think so. Sure, the Rabbeinu David is really extreme. I mean, it's a huge chiddush to say that Shabbos and Yantar is just to be full and not to eat. We would usually assume it's the same as matzah. Just like you have a chiv to eat matzah, you have a chiv to eat Lecha Mishnah and Shudah Shabbos. Rabbeinu David is saying no, it's just an Indian to be happy and be satiated and... That's a whopper of a chiddush. But what you do see is, at least with regards to Shal Shudas, if a person is stuffed, it says in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't have to mitzar himself. Now, it doesn't sound like from the Shulchan Aruch, it's because it's a chila gasa and you push a candy. It says, it sounds like you don't have to be mitzar yourself. Almost sounds like you're yaitzeh already. But better to be yaitzeh the real Indian and to plan ahead and eat eat responsibly at lunch to make sure you have room for Shal Shudas. How do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? Can a person eat on Friday? Erev Pesach, you're not supposed to eat, and we'll get to the parameters of that. You're not supposed to eat. But what about Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif? Do we pass on like Rabbi Yossi? Do we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda? So we actually pass on like Rabbi Yossi, that a person can eat all day Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. There's no Easter necessarily to eat. However, there is a Gemara Masechtas Gittin. The Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, there were two families in Yerushalayim. They were Kaveya Seuda Erev Shabbos, Vishteya Nekru. And they were both uprooted. These families were lost. That's not a positive thing. Wow, okay, so, but I thought we were passing on Rabbi Yossi. You're allowed to eat Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. So the Shulchan Aruch distinguishes between a Seuda and snacking. Snacking is permitted all day Erev Shabbos. A Seuda is advisable not to do it. So it says over here in the language of the Shulchan Aruch actually distinguishes between before in the morning versus in the afternoon, but the Shulchan Aruch says, also the Kvaya by Erev Shabbos, Seuda, Mishnah, Shein, Rogel, Mimei, Achoyo. If it's not a regular meal, it's a more elaborate meal, not a tuna fish sandwich, a bowl of cereal. This is a more elaborate, or bagel. It's a more elaborate meal. I feel he sued this Arison, even if it is a Sheva Brachas. Someone once asked me about this, making a Sheva Brachas on a Friday morning. I feel he sued this Arison. Even if it's a Sheva Brachas, you're not supposed to do it on Friday, Mishum Kavod Shabbos. If it's a Bris Milah, which has to fall out on Friday, then you can have it on Friday. But it says the Ramah sued this Shizmana, Erev Shabbos, going Bris Milah, yes, but otherwise not. And after Mincha Ketana, after it's Mitei Shosu L'mayla, even a regular meal, even a tuna fish sandwich you shouldn't do. So you can have a regular meal in the morning, a regular meal for lunch, but a larger, more elaborate Suda you should not have at all. On Friday, certainly not later on in the day. So Rabbi said, this brings us to the dilemma of this year. This year, Tuf Shin Pei Aleph, everything is going wrong. I'm not into one of these 2020, haters. But we have to make the most of everything. Everything is always an opportunity, right? We have to make the most of everything. But this year has definitely a lot of anomalies. You had Sar Batavius falling out on a Friday. And not only that, Purim falls out on a Friday. Purim falls out. It's probably good for the Jews, actually. We don't need people celebrating Purim and getting everyone sick. But Purim falls out on a Friday. So that creates a problem. How do you have a Sudas Purim on Friday? So it says in the Ramah, Tafresh Tzadihei Sif Beizu, Kishachal Purim, B'yoyim HaShishi, Yasa Suda B'Shachris, Mishum Kavod Shabbos. You should make breakfast, Sudas Purim breakfast. Have wine with your breakfast. So that's the way the Ramah paskins. It says in the Bir Halacha, if you didn't do that, you can have it later on in the day. Me'ikra Adin, right? It's just an Inyan not to do this. Like the Gemara says, these two families were Nekru, but if it's a Suda that's Chal by Yoim, like a Bris Milah, And Purim, certainly, there's a chiyuv suda on that day, right? It's a chai vinish l'besumei b'puria. So it's one of the mitzvahs of the day, so you can do it later on in the day, but better to do it earlier on. Mishum kavet Shabbos, a person should come into Shabbos at least while he's hungry, not having a suda. But you can snack all day, right? You can snack the whole day. That was never an inyan. We pass on Rav Yosi. A person is allowed to do that. But a meal sounds like it's somewhat inappropriate. But what is a person anyway eating on our Pesach? He's going to eat matzah. So Tysus brings up the issue. We'll have to get to this next time. But who's eating matzah anyway? You can't eat matzah for a whole other reason. Many, many in Yonim against eating matzah. Somebody has any question? No. Yeah, Al, what do you say?
I heard...